Hello and welcome to the podcast series called Behind the Athlete. My name is Raf Agostino and I have the privilege of working at School Sport Victoria. You might have noticed that we're really excited by the athletes that have come through our Team Vic pathway, the athletes we're calling Team Vic alumni. These athletes have gone on to be elite athletes and even wear the green and gold and represent their country and become an Olympian. We're pretty excited by that. So we knew there were life lessons to be learned by talking to not just the athletes, but the people who are support staff and have played a significant role in these athletes becoming who they are. So enjoy this short podcast series called Behind the Athletes as we dive into the ups and the downs, the highs and the lows, as we talk to parents, coaches, teachers, principals, anyone who's had a significant part in these Team Vic alumni athletes becoming elite athletes and Olympians. We're really excited and we hope you get lots of lessons out of this short series. Enjoy.
Did you know? School Sport Victoria offers 650,000 sporting opportunities in 31 different sports. At 10,700 events across the state, every single year. That's a lot of kids playing sport. And for over 25 years, the Victorian School Sports Awards have recognised more than 1,500 students, teachers and volunteers for excellence and outstanding contribution to school sport. Now that's a champion effort.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Behind the Athlete, and we're joined here by Steve and Michelle Oliver. You are going to love this interview, I'm sure, because in the pre-interview questions, they've already made me laugh considerably, so I think you're going to love hearing about Clayton's story. Welcome to you both.
Oh, thanks, Raf.
Appreciate that, Raf. Thank you.
No worries. You're both lovely people. You're from the country, so you're from Echuca, and we love country people. We love just hearing your stories, and we're here in particular to talk about Clayton and Clayton's journey through AFL, journey through sport. Just tell us a little bit about yourselves first.
Oh, me? I met Steve at school, and he hunted me down. And wouldn't leave me alone, and my dad said don't marry him, so I did, and next minute we've got two boys, so that's it, and he's a twin, so I was always a little bit, oh God, am I going to have twins, but I didn't, thank God. So I was actually just talking to Clayton's girlfriend today, and I did remind her that there is twins on our side, and there's twins on her side, so you know what? You never know, so.
just never know. Now, so Steve, you're high school sweethearts, so you've known each other for a very long time.
We have, yes, actually, yeah, but I think Michelle's story is not quite correct.
You did hunt me down. You wouldn't leave me alone.
I showed a little bit of interest and sort of progressed from there.
Right. Very good. That's a nice calculated way of saying it. Thank you for that. Now let's talk about Clayton. So Clayton is one of, is it two boys?
Yes.
One of two boys.
He's the youngest. So I've got an older boy, Mitch. Yeah, Mitchie's 26 and Clayton's 24. So it's about 19 months between. Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay. So Clayton, was there a time when you realised that Clayton may one day be drafted into the AFL?
Me or you?
Michelle, you can go with this
one. Yeah. So I've had a really solid think about this because we keep getting asked this question all the time, and I've probably given 29 different answers. But now that I've had a really good think, I don't think that I've realised that Clayton was going to be drafted to AFL until the point where he was given the opportunity to play with Richmond's VFL. So he's playing Bush Rangers. It was a bit slow. Wasn't like he was being monitored or managed because of his osteopubis. But out of the blue, Richmond actually wanted to see him play and invited him down. we had a little bit of an episode with Clayton and a chair, which he kicked and it smashed. And, oh, God, we thought then that maybe he's done his dash then. The Bushrangers team manager wasn't really rapt about the whole thing. And I'm like, oh, my God. I was actually quite upset that weekend. I remember being really sad. But we got through that, got him down to Richmond. He played pretty well. He stood up for himself. He'd played already against men because he'd already played with the Maroopna seniors.
Mm-hmm. Thanks
to Blake Campbell the year before. So he'd been given an opportunity to play against men. Then he got the opportunity to play against men again. So the scouts that were there, those two games that he played at, they actually got to see him. He was out there. He didn't step down. And he wasn't playing against little under 17-year-olds. He was actually playing men. He stepped up. He actually totally deserved to be given the opportunity.
And I reckon he might have even been in the best players too.
I think he did actually, yeah. And then after that, he became this bolter. I'd actually never even heard of a bolter before. So, you know, drove him home from Melbourne, got home to Maroopna, stayed the night. He went off to school the next day. I drove back to Echuca for work, went home to Steve to make sure he had food at home. Hey, Steve, what's a bolter? So, ha ha, it's when you're coming from nowhere to something. And I'm like, oh, wow, I've never even heard of it. I reckon it was at that point I thought, holy, wow, he might make it here now. Thank you, Richmond. You know, thank you, Maroopna, for giving him the opportunity. I must admit, though, Raf, we didn't think that he was going to make it, and we actually booked a holiday to China prior to the drafts, because I was literally told he wasn't going to make it. I'd given up, and it is a hard slog. A lot of other parents will tell you it's a hard slog. It's a big journey. We've all got different journeys. Ours was extremely hard, I felt, anyway. So, yeah, I booked a holiday, and it was to China, who they don't have Google and they don't have Facebook. So when we left, we booked it ages ago before his Richmond game. So he did the Richmond, and then he started to step it up with the Bushrangers. And he started getting votes, which at the end of the day, that's how he ended up winning the Morris Medal. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, I'm going, oh, God, whoops, we've booked this holiday. Whoops, should we still go? What should we do? You know, what's going to happen? Anyway, we went on this holiday. He was probably pick 78. He had made the draft, mm-hmm. pick 78. No Google, no Facebook in China. So by the time we got back, he was top 20, had the email in the system, come to the draft, and amazing. So we always hope that maybe both our boys would make it. I think we all us parents think our little boys are going to make AFL. Mm. Yeah, we love it. We love AFL.
That's right, and you never really know until draft night that it's going to happen because everything's so much up in the air.
Yeah,
so.
It depends on the strategy behind the other teams as well, what they're looking for as well as to what athletes they're going to pick at a certain point. I guess was there a point, because you've hit on something interesting, Michelle, that every parent dreams for their kid to make it to the AFL or make it to the Olympics or make it to some kind of level.
Absolutely.
What would you and Steve as well say to any parent listening in going, I really want my kid to make AFL? What advice would you give to that parent as they live with a 12 or a 15-year-old kind of thing?
You probably give them the best opportunity that they've got to actually succeed. So you don't ever want to think later on in life that I wished I'd had a try, I wished I'd had a go at it. As long as you give your child the opportunity to have a go and succeed, if they don't make it, that's fine, but you don't want to die wondering things. I wished I'd had a go at doing that.
Yeah.
And I'd rather have a go at it and saying, look, I wasn't good enough, I didn't make it, rather than thinking, geez, I wish I had a go at it, because, just the opportunity to have a good go at that elite level, if you think. But and the only way to get there, a lot of kids have got all that ability to do it, but you've got to have the commitment and dedication, that's what I believe, to get there. Because a lot of kids are very good football, very good athletes at what they do, but you've got to have that, like swimming would be a perfect example, you've got to have that commitment and dedication to do the hard work to get the rewards at the end.
And for me, I hear stories of the kids, they love AFL, they're going to make AFL, they want to do anything they can, but then they go to party. Yeah. They go and party and drink all night.
Yeah,
Clayton never did that. I can literally count. He went to like 4 or 5 parties in his whole life. Oh, sorry, leading up to AFL. He never went because he knew he wanted to get there. So he was so dedicated. So what advice would you give to any parents? I'll grow a money tree. That's handy. A money tree is really handy. I find that not just footy, like make it all about other sports too. So the boys, we went to Little Ash, we went to basketball, soccer, running, training, swimming, and we had fun at all of them. And we met so many new parents and so many new players, and we met so many new people, that we wouldn't obviously had time to actually get around to that. But you know what? Stevie reckons I talk too much, okay? So I'm so sorry. And I digress or egress? I don't know. I do something. I go off the track, but.
You've got a 5-hour show.
Yeah, big right? 5-hour show. So it's all good. So, it's all about fun too. So it's good enough to say, hey kids, at home, here's a basketball court. Just go and, I don't know, go and shoot some hoops and go and practice. But how much fun do the kids get when you actually wander out there and go, oh, I want to shoot a hoop too with you. Or you go out on we actually did make a football oval because we had enough property at that time. So we had sticks and everything. So we would just get out there and play kick to kick with the kids and they loved it.
The fun part is really important. And just going back to what Steve said, though, giving the kids the best opportunity and trying to provide the best opportunity so you don't die wondering, you know, did I give them the best opportunity? Before we go into the fun part, how did you do that, Steve? What, when you think about the opportunities that I gave Clayton, what sort of comes to mind?
Initially, he was playing footy at Echuca when I was coaching in that, and he had... Could he have gone to school over in Shep? When he get back late, Michelle's running down to footy training and he couldn't get back there in time to train enough.
Right. Get enough training time.
Yeah, only because of the travel. So it wasn't that he wasn't good enough to play there. So he was over at Shepparton at school at GB Grammar and he played in under 12s. And one of the coaches out there, Cole Cormack, his son and Clayton played in the big side together. And Cole had a couple of kids who had been injured, so they were short on numbers. So we thought, well, and Cole, I was talking to Cole, and he said, well, you know, if Clayton wants to get a game over here, bring him over.
Yeah, and it was on a Sunday. Yeah. It was 20-minute quarters, and they were screaming for players. Right. Whereas Echuca was 12-minute quarters. Played on a freezing cold Friday night in the rain and the hail and darkness, and they were so overloaded with players that kids had to stay off every second or third game. They wouldn't even get a game, and that was Clayton. He was one of those ones too. So we just went, ooh.
Okay, so we had the opportunity. Yeah. Like we both played. I played football in Chute. Michelle played netball there.
Right.
And
we're quite good athletes. Yeah, so, we're both good in our sports.
And so Merton is an opposition team. So for you to sort of go from, say, Carlton to Collingwood, we're going from Echuca to Merton to take our kid out there in under 14. So, you know, it was a big move.
It was a massive move.
But it was
a political move. Like people hated us for it. It was awful.
But, you know, you want to give your kids the best opportunity to do. So we thought, you know, we're going to ruffle a few feathers, but if Clayton wants to have have a crack at AFL, yeah, as most young kids do. So we're going to give you the opportunity. You had a couple of years playing the fit under 12 side. So
we did ask him though. Yeah. We said, mate, this is what we can do. Do you want to do it? Do you want us to do this? And he goes, yes. We went, righto, let's go.
Yeah, so he did that. And then he sort of, he tried out at the Pioneers and he was told he wasn't good enough there. So that's fine, fair enough. So we had the opportunity to get him over to the Bush Rangers thanks to Blake Campbell. So we said, righto, we're going to actually go to the Bush Rangers and give you a chance here. You know, we weren't, you know, one door closes, you think, well, you know, we're not going to say that's no good. We're going to give you the opportunity. If we can give the opportunity to do it, we did. So we sort of rented a unit in Maroubna and got him in the system within that zone and he got to go to the Bush Rangers.
We had to be seen to be living in the Bush Rangers zone. Didn't matter that he went to GV. Didn't matter that he played for Maroubna.
We lived in Echuca,
so we had to actually rent a unit over in Maroubna. So we were totally over in that system over there.
So, you do those little things to sort of give the kids the opportunity. And, like, a lot of other parents probably did some similar things to, you know, give the kids the opportunities, but we were fortunate enough that, you know, it worked out thanks to, you know, a number of people along the way, and especially Blake Campbell, who actually did the hard yards to get Clayton from Maroubna into the Bush Rangers. He was one of the ones, the driving force behind getting him over there to open that door up. So, yeah.
Which is great. And it's great that you were able to recognise that that was an opportunity that was presenting itself, because, let's be honest, sometimes you can miss those opportunities. Sometimes you can not see the opportunity for what it is. And now you look back and go, I'm glad I did that, because this is a kind of door opening moment, sliding door moment for Clayton in particular.
What's it? Oh, my God, we'll just talk about sliding doors this afternoon.
Okay. Yeah.
Exactly the same. And we were talking about Ollie Wines too. That moment where Melbourne picked Tumpus instead of Ollie, off he goes this way. And if we go a couple, because Ollie's about 3 or 4 years older than Clayton, three years older than Clayton. So by the time Clayton had come along, Ollie would have established himself as a midfielder. Jack Viney's there. They probably wouldn't have even picked Clayton. So who knows where Clayton would have gone?
Pretty amazing.
I know.
And Clayton did actually follow Ollie, and he probably... Yeah.
He went to Golden Valley Grammar. Oh, well, Ollie, I want to go where Ollie Wines is going.
Yeah, of course.
He was the perfect role model for Clayton. He actually followed what Ollie did, and he sort of emulated that to get rid of the new Ollie got drafted, so that's what he wanted to do. So he followed Ollie a lot.
Yeah. And he also, Ollie went to a running coach. His name was Russell Parsons. And guess where we went? Well, we went there too because Ollie was going there. We did a little bit of a copycat with Ollie. I've never told Jane this, actually. I wonder if she'll be listening to this. But, yeah, we did copy Ollie. Thank you.
Ollie went to GB and his grandparents just tried to after training at Bendigo. And Michelle's.
Yep, my grandparents drove Clayton everywhere as well. So, yeah. Amazing.
It's nice that you've got such a tight family as well, and that all, you know, the family's interjected there and supported. It's clear from what I haven't watched every game like you guys have, obviously, with Clayton playing, but it's clear from the games you watch that he still loves the game. You can say that about a few players, but you can't say that about every player, but Clayton loves it. He obviously loved it growing up. Every photo we have, we don't have too many, but every photo we have, there he is with Petrarca, just smiling away, loving the sport.
Yep.
How did you keep, I know you mentioned this before, Steve, but how did you keep fun in the sport for Clayton? How did the fun factor stay there? What did you do to foster that?
I probably did have to do a great deal. Because Clayton actually, he just loved it. He just couldn't get enough of the footy. So I worked for myself by myself. And, I used to work long hours. So most of the time he would get Michelle out in the backyard. Mum, come out and we'll kick the footy. So she'd spend hours out there kicking the footy, lead mum, kick it to me. Yeah.
Over here. Kick to the space. Over here.
To reach the elite level, you've got to have the, a lot of kids got school, like I said before, dedication, commitment, but to Clayton, it wasn't a chore to do it. He loved, He loved the footy and he just loved the training. And he would always have the footy in his hand or a basketball or doing something because he just wanted to live that dream.
Yeah. And he had lots of sporty friends too. All the kids, they loved it. They would come to our house. We lived on a little bit of a property and we set up our house for our two boys. It was all about them. So we had a basketball court, we had a swimming pool, we had a footy oval, we had a man cave which had table tennis. It was actually called the Oliver Resort. That was what our friends would call it. That's what they would call it. Oh, we're going out to the resort today. And never a weekend did we not have at least four boys with us. Yeah. Like they were always, they always had their friends out there and that's what I wanted. I brought a 7-seater kit car. So I could bring all friends to our house. Right. And it was all about having fun. And at the end of the day, like I said before, we would jump in. If they're out the back, they might be playing a game of cricket maybe. Admittedly, we'll have a beer in a hand or maybe a wine, but we'll just be standing there fielding or something. And then, you know, the ball's come and react and you're rolling over and you pick up the ball and you're throwing it and then they go, oh, you bat. So of course they love it when you bat, don't they? But or even just shooting hoops. It's me and Clayton against Steve and Mitch, and then there'll be two of their friends, Harry or Nick or Matt or someone like that. We'll all be having this 3-on-3 basketball game. They loved it. They loved it. I think it's more parents get in there in the sport too, like get in there and have some fun with them too before you're too old and you're a bit scared because you might break something.
Somebody once said to me, it's not what you do for the kids, it's what you do with the kids.
Yeah, what with the kids, absolutely. It is. It's That's what you nice. Do with them.
You can do all the running around, doing all that stuff, but they want you to actually spend some time with them. With this, doing something, like you said, shooting hoops, playing cricket.
And I didn't care because I love playing basketball. Basketball is my favourite sport. So I coached, scored. They banned me from scoring because I think I yelled out one day, but whatever. Steve coached.
It's hard to believe that you yelled out.
I know.
But just going back to what you were saying before, though, you it's not what you do for your kids, it's what you do with your kids.
Yes.
One question that I didn't send through to you is how have you gone in the last 12 months? Because there's been he's obviously a homebody. Clayton loves being at home and obviously loves being at the Oliver Resort. But how have you gone with the travel? Because he's been away so much. So how have you coped with that?
Well, it hasn't been too bad. It's probably more harder for his
girlfriend,
his partner, Sophie. Yeah. Because as soon as he got drafted, like that was 6 years ago, like, you know, he finished year 12 and 2 weeks later, 2 days after he got drafted, bang, he's gone. So, he's been with Sophie ever since. So it's probably harder for her because she's the one who we don't deal for him with that day to day living.
Yeah, poor Sophie.
She's the one who has to do that. And like Michelle said, they've just bought a house and so she's, you know, she had to shift into it by herself because he was quarantining in Perth. He's come back for weeks and he's gone for another 4 or 5 weeks. So she's here by herself. So she's probably the one who's probably.
She's taken the brunt.
Yeah, she's taken the brunt of it now.
Since he's left us, woohoo! she has taken an absolute, she's been the backbone for him. Well, and because of COVID, like the last 2 years has been so hard. I love going down, watching the game. Then we'll catch up with them on a Sunday for a coffee or brekkie or whatever. And we'll go see Mitchie and then we'll go home again. That's our weekend away. It's like a mini holiday. It's been hard for all of us and my mum and dad too. They're very passionate they helped a lot with Clayton with travelling.
Yep.
And getting into games and then for them to not to get to the game even at the MCG is it's awful. And then now we can't even get to the grand final. We're gutted, but they're more gutted. And then you've got all these other Melbourne supporters. So I reckon, I totally believe the Melbourne team, all those boys know how much this means for all of us now.
Correct.
The parents, all the fans, just amazing. But yeah, as far as us missing him getting home and how hard it's been, I think Sophie, yeah. Sophie needs a bit of a pat on the back for that because she's been amazing. She really is.
And we realise that during footy season, Clayton's got a commitment to the footy club. That's what he's there for. So he's there for 6 days a week. So we realise, it's his job. So we realise during footy season, 6 days a week, he's committed to the footy club. He doesn't get his own time. We might see him when we go down there. We realise he won't be able to come home because that's the way the system is.
Yeah. When was it last time he was home?
Yeah, so we'll go down and catch him in the off season that, but after that, it's head down, bum up, footy season, and that's his job.
We haven't even been able to see him after the game because of COVID. It was really awesome they would let us into the club rooms afterwards. Can't even do that now. That's crushing. Anyway, it's even, hi, whereas the Metro people, Metro parents are lucky. They can at least be able to see their boys. They might come around for tea one night or whatever. We were sort of looking forward to, we looked forward to the night or the day. We go and watch him after the game. We go and see him at the club rooms. Even if it was a hi, how are you, see you later, bye, at least we got to see him. That was pretty crappy. COVID's pretty crappy. Yeah,
it is. And look, I know you've talked about Mitch as well. How did you manage as parents the sporting achievements of both Mitch and Clayton together? Because when they were young, they probably were pretty not only close, they're 19 months apart like you mentioned, but also close in relationship, but also good as in terms of skills, because Mitch is a bit older. So how did you manage the achievements of both of them?
Oh, who's answering you?
Well, I'll start off, but you can finish off. But no, actually,
I'll finish off.
They were both very gifted at sport, and probably Clayton probably everything that Mitchell tried because he was a bit older. So if Mitchell would try football, Clayton would jump on. And as a younger sibling, you always want to be better than your older brother, so Mitchell would take a cricket. And Clayton would take a cricket because he wanted to be better than his brother. He'd take up tennis, so Clayton would take up tennis. So do swimming, Clayton would take up swimming because you want to be better than what your big brother is. So there was really it wasn't very hard. And of course, we're lucky there's two of us and we've got two kids. So if they were doing different things,
we were lucky. Like, we didn't have four kids like Jane and Tony Wines. We only had the two boys.
Or the McDonald's or something. Or
McDonald's, if we go back to Melbourne people, yes.
When they were growing up and they were playing their sport, even when Clayton played footy, Adam Rubin and Mitchie played at Echuca, we would take it in turn. Yep. So 1 week I would take Mitchell to the footy, next week I'd take Clayton. So we're just sharing it around. So didn't favour one above the other, and it wasn't that hard. It wasn't that hard to manage. We only had two kids.
We were lucky, and they were on a par. We've got trophies everywhere home here. Yeah. Mitchie's one side, Clayton's the other side, and literally Clayton has only one-upped him because he made AFL, and that's it. Yeah. Otherwise, they were on the same level. Mitchell's a bit – actually, Mitchell's taller. Yeah. So there you go. Mitchell's taller than Clayton. So there you go.
Well, obviously, you guys have done pretty phenomenally as parents to have two healthy, happy, resilient and, play. And now you've got an AFL Premiership player, at least, which is fantastic. Who knows what's going to happen on Saturday? I think they're looking pretty good. I don't want to jinx them, but they're looking pretty amazing.
I hope so, Raph. Oh, my God.
How did you as parents then, because, Steve, you talked about you're a coach, and Michelle, you talked about you've coached basketball and you play netball and you're a sporty family. How did you keep the boundaries between being a parent and letting coaches do the coach thing? Was there ever a time when that was hard?
Right.
Well, I suppose.
No, I just told them what to do.
I find that hard to believe.
No, I didn't. No, Stephen, you say. I'll keep
quiet on this. I coached the boys in the early years, and I just thought, I did that for a couple of years,
as most parents do in the junior footy, you do a couple of years while your kids are there and then you sort of move on and that. And I sort of realised, you know, Clayton's probably going to be a bit more special than what I could do. And I couldn't probably give him, and I didn't want to be seen as that parent who was coaching because my son was playing and he's a good player, so he's going to get all the favouritism. But when I coached, you know, it was only junior footy, so, you know, all the kids had the same amount of game time. They had the same amount of opportunities that all the other kids did. No one got favoured. And even when Clayton got picked to play in the under 12 side in Victoria, so he wasn't allowed to play junior footy, he had to go to training every Sunday. But I'd already committed to coaching the other boys, so I coached them for the rest of the year, even though my son wasn't even playing. So it wasn't that hard to differentiate between being a parent and a coach.
Yeah.
But for personally, but you know, but when other people are coaching their things, I didn't get involved because you know, if one of those parents are going to say, "Oh, well, you should have done this, should have done that," you should be doing it yourself. And I elected not to do it, and I was just happy with the coaches that he had, especially, you know, after he sort of moved on from probably the under-12s, Nat and Cole McCormick, over at Rubner, he looked after.
We had great coaches. We had no issues with coaches anyway, so
But it must have been you, Steve, coaching the boys, though, when you said before you coached the boys. I imagine you're talking about Mitch and Clayton and your team. What I hadn't thought about this till now, was it hard to coach a team with the boys in it with what you just said, that maybe you would be seen as making a decision that was favouring your sons kind of thing? Was that hard as a coach?
Oh, it wasn't hard because I had a lot of people around me. It wasn't just me pulling all the shots just at one person. We, you know, I'd have a couple of Tony Wines, obviously, was a team manager. he was a team manager 1 year, that's when Ollie's younger brother Harry was playing, and I had other parents around me, so it wasn't me making the one decision, so people could say, you give him more game time. So we'd all talk about it, and we'd work out how we're going to, you know, how much game time the boys are going to play, and we just did it around. So it wasn't that hard, no.
And we had a big spreadsheet, which kid has already had half a game, which other kids had a full game. We were prepared for any parent to come up to us, and we had to cover our ass half the time. We were prepared for a parent to come up and say, "Hey, your kid's getting more game than I do," and we'd go, "You know what? Here's our spreadsheet." No, they're not. We're all good. We're a family. We didn't even get it. We actually didn't even have that issue anyway. All the parents were fantastic.
Well, actually,
Shut up.
Clayton had come back from playing in the state side, and I filled in as a coach. I think it was his top last year in under 12s. We played at Stanhope, and they probably hadn't won a game for about 2 years.
This is a good story, Raph.
Good. So most opposition teams give the opposition team their worst players.
No, hang on. Start again. Stanhope is always short of players.
Right.
It's under 12s. They're always short. So any team that plays Stanhope, they most of the time would have to give some of their players to Stanhope to fill out 18 players.
And then you.
So,
Clayton's playing for Steve's team. I'm not going to talk anymore.
I was only filling in. The coach wasn't there. I was only filling in that night. So Clayton actually went and played with the opposition.
Stanhope,
grudgingly at the start.
Yeah, he didn't want to.
And they hadn't won a game, I don't think, for about 2 years. And then a couple of boys went over there and played for him. As it turned out, Clayton sort of played a little bit the first quarter. Second quarter, we got him to play there. And then he sort of started playing a bit better. And all the other boys actually from Stanhope picked up that momentum. At three-quarter time, Stanhope were in front. Clayton came back. He wasn't really impressed with that, so he came back and played for Chuka. But the Stanhope boys who hadn't won a game in 2 years,
you did mention how Clayton had kicked a couple of goals.
Kicked a couple of goals, but he got them up and running. But then they didn't believe they could win, but they actually got them going. They won. Anyway.
Actually won.
So after the game, the coach actually came up in the change room and that. And he said, thank you, because most opposition clubs give us the worst players. It's a one-sided game.
I don't say
the most not gifted players. Yeah. And Stanhope won. So that was the best moment. I reckon that was probably one of the best game that we've seen Clayton play.
It is the most memorable team game that we've ever seen him play.
Yeah, and those Stanhope boys, they could play footy, but they hadn't had the belief in themselves to be able to do it. and just that one player gone there and sort of helped him out. And the coach didn't even know who Clayton was.
No. Clayton was a nobody.
He came up to me at the game. He said, I don't know who that kid was, but he didn't even know he's my son. He goes, I don't know who that kid was, but he said, thank you. He said, my boys are that rabid excited.
That's great.
And Steve
and how special for Marupna too, because Marupna now can say, we've had Clayton Oliver play in our team with us.
I know. have you seen their Facebook page? They've got a they've got a, on the outside of the Marupna Oval, there's Latham Van Meter versus Clayton Oliver. It's absolutely perfect. But back to that story though, Stevie, when Clayton did kick a couple of goals, he got the first goal and the parents went berserk. It was like a grand final. They tooted horns. Stanhope had never even got a goal for a couple of years. It was amazing. Wow. It was the most amazing. Then he got another goal and the whole ground erupted. Toot, toot. Oh, my God. Yeah, cheer, cheer. And literally I've only just started to work at Kyabram Health and I was talking to a lady a couple of weeks ago and she said, oh, are you Clayton Oliver's mother? I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I am. She goes, He came and filled in for Stanhope one time. I went,
oh, that's great.
Oh my God. Do you remember that game? And she goes, yeah, he won the game for them. She goes, he went down in history. And I'm just like, I could not believe it. I've actually got goosebumps right now telling you that because when Judy was telling me that story, I'm just looking at her going, it isn't the most memorable story that me and Steve have. And then I go and get a parent tell me that story after what? 12 years?
At least
12 years later, a parent tells me that she remembers Clayton playing for Stanhope. How amazing is that?
No one would have known who he was at that stage.
Just a kid.
Opposition team, probably no one would have known or recognised.
But amazing. That's amazing. Well,
it is. It's a great story. And it's a great story to also depict not only his football skills and football prowess, but really his character of wanting to be in, you know, play for the other team, not brag about the fact that he's Steve Oliver's dad or anything like that, or that he's a coach's son. It's more,
sorry, Raph.
Now, just on the last question, how did you go balancing? Because he went to St. Mary's, is that right?
Yep.
I got that right?
Echuca.
St. Mary's Echuca,
yep.
Yep. And then Goulburn Valley Grammar.
Grammar, yep.
As a high school, yep. How did you go then balancing the importance, because I think you touched on it before, Steve, balancing the importance of education and the training that he needed to do as an elite athlete, because as an elite athlete, he would have had to train many hours in a week. So how did you balance the two together?
Yeah.
It was actually pretty easy. It was Clayton's decision to go to GV.
It was, actually. Yeah, good point. It was. Because guess who went to Goulburn Valley Grammar?
Ollie.
Yeah. So there you go.
So he wanted to go. He had three really close friends. And they were inseparable at primary school, but he decided that he wanted to go to GB.
Actually, you're right. I didn't realise that.
Yeah, he was interested in going to GB, which is not known for sportingness. It's a more of academic side. So he actually wanted to go there. And I think the sports side of it, he was going to do his little apps, his football, cricket, whatever, outside that. But I think his primary focus was education because sports not going to last forever. And you need some backup plan. So obviously he wanted, well, he was threatened with if he didn't get a good education, you'd have to work with his father. So.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a bad thing at all.
That probably didn't inspire the
boys to do it. They did not want to be a plumber. No, not at all. But GB Grammar was so good. They, a lot of the teachers understood that he just needed to go a little bit earlier. Because my mum and dad would pick him up from Shepparton at, say, 3 o'clock. He had to be in Bendigo by 4:30 for Pioneers training. they would stay there and watch him train to 6, and then they were driving home and be back to Echuca by 7. So it was this vicious triangle. Wow. But Ollie did the same thing. Just, you know, 3 years earlier, Ollie Wines did the same thing as well. So we knew he did it. Yeah, so we can do it too. We're there.
That's what the education comes first. Yep. And, you know, if you've done all your schoolwork, you've done all your homework, then you fit your sport in.
Yeah, and he would... I was just going to say he tried to keep up with his homework in the car. So, and I know Ollie did the same thing. They would pick him up and he would try and do some homework in the car and then get to training, then get home, then try and catch up with the... It's a big thing in VCE as well. It's huge.
It is. And that's what I was just about to say. The picture you painted then for any person sitting back listening, it's he would have got up about 7, 7.30 to go to school and he wouldn't have been home until 7, 7.30 at night. So that's every day, Monday to Friday at least, he's doing a 12 to 13-hour day. And that's massive commitment for a young man. Or for anyone, for a young woman as well. But that's pretty amazing that he did that year in, year out, day in, day out.
Yep, I know. Tell me about it.
that's a dedication and commitment that he had. That he wanted to get to the...
He wanted to get to elite,
But he knew he had to do his schoolwork first, have a good education, so...
And he did pretty good in his ATAR. Like, he didn't do... the 99.9%, which I think he could have done. But he did, I think he did a 73%, which is pretty good for what was going on in the background of his life. So I was pretty happy with that. And again, GB Grammar, they ring me up, Clayton's not doing this, Clayton's not doing that. And I'm like, it's okay. He'll get there. You just have to be there for him. And they were. They were great. Like I said, they allowed him to go earlier. They were. So it was a good move. It was his choice, as we said. And then, as it was, because Clayton wanted to go there secretly, we had to get Mitchy there first because we couldn't actually get Clayton in there at a year 7 without Mitchell getting in there in year 9. So we actually said to Mitch, who wasn't happy at that time with his current school. So we said to him, oh, mate, maybe you should go to GB. Like, it could be really good for you, mate. Like, you're not really happy where you are. No, I want to stay with my friends. No. And we went, oh, rightio, that's okay. And then Mitch actually come back to us about 3 days later and said, you know what? I actually think I want to go to GB Grammar. We actually went to a open house for GB Grammar when Mitch was in grade 5. We always hoped he would go there, but we didn't actually get there. I was so proud to send him there in year 9. So he went there, and once there was that older sibling there, GB Grammar were able to accept the younger sibling. So lucky Mitchie did actually agree to go there, and he's gone leaps and bounds as well. So very proud. Yeah. Thank you, GB Grandma. Thank you.
Well, I mean, you guys have done an amazing job, I reckon. I've only just met you, but hats off to you to build a footy field out the back, to stay in your own business, Steve, and keep working hard so the kids could have the best education and the best opportunity that you talked about. And for you, Michelle, getting out there and with the boys and coaching them and driving them, because what you've just painted, I'm just tired in the half an hour just hearing your story of everything you've done, because and that's really what we're trying to do with this podcast series, is trying to get behind the athlete. Yes, the athlete's important and Clayton's amazing, but there's been a whole lot of money, time, energy and food that's gone into getting him to where he is. And I think you guys have done remarkable and you ought to be commended for it. And if they get a premiership medal, they need one for parents too. They need to get a parents' premiership medal because you guys did it.
That's a damn good thing. I'm watching that. That's a damn good idea.
I'm pretty sure we'll celebrate pretty hard if they do, Ref.
I'm sure you will. I'm sure you will. Thanks. Thanks heaps for your time, you guys. You guys have been great. And good luck on Saturday. I don't need the luck, but, I mean, it's going to be amazing. Unfortunately, you have to watch it on the big screen, but it's going to be amazing to watch. I think it's going to be a ripper game. And I think he's going to do really well, and it's going to be nice to see the fluffy red-headed young man, Clayton Oliver, is to get out there and play.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate
it. Awesome. That. It's great.